Okay. All right, I'm going to say a real quick prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, we thank you for allowing us to come into your house tonight. Holy Spirit, I pray that you lead and you guide me into exactly what you need me to get to your people, the information that I'm able to get it out, I'm able to get it to them cohesively. In the name of Jesus, thank you. Amen. So the name of my message, and it took me a minute to come up with something, it's called Perks. So in some jobs we have perks, right? Some places we have perks. Well, as Christians, I don't know if you know, we have perks. One of those perks happens to be the Holy Spirit. Yes. So we're gonna dive into some things about the Holy Spirit. I know the last time I was up here, we kind of talked about some foundational stuff. And now tonight, I have a lot of information that I'm not going to go into any one thing in depth. I'm going to give you some pieces to the puzzle, and I'm going to give you some scripture. Here's what I feel led for you to do, because there's so much information here. The Holy Spirit has said, tell them to write down, as I'm. If I say it and you feel a tug at your heart, write it down. I'm going to tell you in the end why. The Holy Spirit has something special for you guys tonight. If you don't have pen and paper, our ushers have pen and paper, so if you'll just raise your hand and they'll get it to you. Okay, so if you guys just bear with me and stay on the bus with me, because I really am going to try to go fast because I've got a lot of info. But I'm going to tell you, my eyes have really been opened and I've learned a lot of new things. I hope that you guys get something from this. So 1 Corinthians 3:16-17 in the NIV version says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? He's asking a question. Don't you know this? Wait a minute. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. When the Holy Spirit enters your life, and you begin to build that relationship, and you fellowship with Him, the Word of God becomes life to you. You need that. Because you are the temple of God, you need His Word in you. The Spirit dwells in you. The Holy Spirit will always lead you to what you need. Whatever you're asking for, whatever that need is, the Holy Spirit wants to meet that need. He wants to get to you whatever you need. Since you were created with eyes, ears, and a mouth, wouldn't you expect that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be able to understand and respond to you? I'd never thought about that. So 1 Corinthians 2:10 in the King James Version, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, the deep things of God. So the Spirit goes deep into God's mind. He knows all things about what we need. That same scripture, but it's in the Message. I'm going to give you a couple of different versions on some of these. The Spirit, not content to flit around on the surface, dives into the depths of God and brings out what God planned all along. Whoever knows what you're thinking and planning except you yourself. The same with God, except that He not only knows what He's thinking, but He lets us in on it. God offers a full report on the gifts of life and salvation that He is giving us. We don't have to rely on the world's guesses or opinions. We didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learned it from God, who taught us person to person through Jesus. And we're passing it on to you in the same firsthand personal way. So the Holy Spirit goes and He gets you from God, straight from God, exactly what you need. You crave the Holy Spirit. You want to understand more. You want to know more about the Word of God. You want to fellowship with the Holy Spirit more. Your prayer life changes. You now desire to be in the presence of God. I know as a mature Christian, I'm not saying I've arrived in no means, but we grow up. There would be times when I'd be praying and I might be falling asleep, or I might forget about what I'm praying about, or I'm yawning, or I'm repeating prayers. Well, once once the Holy Spirit, once you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you build this relationship with Him, you desire so much to be in the presence of God, you're not doing that anymore because you're more serious about it. You want to be in the presence of God. And it's more than a task. It's a conversation. So once you're building that, it's becoming more of a conversation. You gain boldness. I like this one. So Acts 3, 2 through 7. And just bear with me because this is a little lengthy. It's out of the International Children's Bible. There at the temple gate, called Beautiful Gate, was a man who had been crippled all of his life. Every day he was carried to this gate to beg. He would ask for money from the people going into the temple. The man saw Peter and John going into the temple and asked them for money. Peter and John looked straight at him and said, "Look at us." The man looked at them. He thought they were going to give him some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold, but I do have something else I can give to you. By the power of Jesus Christ from Nazareth, stand up and walk." Then Peter took the man's right hand and lifted him up. Immediately the man's feet and ankles became strong. That was so much more to that man to be healed than silver or gold or whatever he was getting. But Peter denied Jesus 3 times. That's not bold. That's not boldness at all. But as I talked about last time, Jesus left. He said, "I've got to go, but I'm going to send you my friend. And he's going to guide you. He's going to be your friend." So the Holy Spirit, He gives you boldness, and we see it for one of the first times here. Because Jesus had just left, and the Holy Spirit came, and here, voila, Peter's bold. I love to talk to the Holy Spirit on my way to work. It's kind of like having a friend in the passenger seat. I'm sure cars driving by are going, "Who is she talking to?" But I don't mind. I don't mind at all. I feel like when I'm talking to the Holy Spirit, he makes me feel bold and confident about my day. He makes me feel that I can conquer whatever craziness comes my way that day. I'm good. I've got this. He's kind of like a cheerleader. And that's what I like that about the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be successful. I'm sure I'm not missing anything. He transforms your daily walk with Christ. Sometimes I'll get a joyful song stuck in my head. And it's kind of like you get on autopilot. But it's really the Holy Spirit unconsciously putting that good into you, so good comes out. So Acts 7:60 in the Message, as the rocks rained down, Stephen prayed, "Master Jesus, take my life." Then he knelt down, praying loud enough for everyone to hear, "Master, don't blame them for this sin." His last words, and then he died. Stephen was being stoned to death. But Stephen, so full of the Holy Spirit, was able to say, "God, don't blame them for this." Because the Holy Spirit, if He's living in you, that's what's going to come out. Remember, it's not natural. It's not going to feel natural in the beginning. It's not going to feel natural to your flesh. Let me say that. At first, because it's supernatural. The Holy Spirit is working you out of your flesh. You gain more love, patience, and tolerance. So Romans 5:5 in the Voice, "And hope will never fail to satisfy our deepest need because the Holy Spirit that was given to us has flooded our hearts with God's love." So you literally learn what it means to crucify the flesh. Literally. And it's uncomfortable. Romans 8:13 through 14. "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." I've also got it in the Voice. "For if your life is just about satisfying the impulses of your sinful nature, then prepare to die. But if you have invited the Spirit to destroy these selfish desires, you will experience life. If the Spirit of God is leading you, then take comfort in knowing you are His children. So, I have to talk to the Holy Spirit a lot about my emotions. I know nobody else gets in their emotions, but this is going to shock everybody when I tell you this. I can be judgmental sometimes, and I know this about me, and I have to say, Holy Spirit, when I'm being judgmental, you quicken me and you tell me, no, this is not okay. This is not how we act. Every day, I ask the Holy Spirit to work with me on that, and I don't mean just clothes or something willy-nilly. I'm going to give you an example. So, I get parent phone calls, and once they get to me, they're pretty escalated. So this parent, when they get to me, they're pretty mad. I had one parent call me, and one of the staff in one of our schools had caught her and told her that she didn't believe that her child had cancer and she shouldn't have her child on those pills. And then she proceeded by taking her wig off and saying, this is what cancer looks like. And of course, when I heard that, I was like, and I immediately judged her. I immediately judged that person. But guess what? I don't know what her battle looks like. She's fighting cancer. I don't know what that feels to her. So we have got to remember everyone in this room is fighting a battle, and it is hard to that person. It may not be hard to you, but it's hard to that person. So when we're judging, or for me, when I'm being judgy, I have to remember that. That person's battle, I may fight it very differently, and it may be very much harder for them to fight it. Uh-huh. This is in a song. I don't remember what song. I think it's a Casting Crowns song, but one of the little parts says, when we judge the wounded, they only know what we're against, not what we're fighting for. So we have got to be really careful about judging. If you've got the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's working, you ask Him, help me to show mercy, help me to show grace, help me to show compassion to others. Now this can go for anything. I just used judgmentalness because that's mine. You might have a different one. You might have one that you need to ask help for. The Holy Spirit is your defender and protector. This is my favorite. He will defend and protect you all day long. So Isaiah 59:19 says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Ish, thank you. All right, so I want you guys to look at this verse. The book that I was reading with Benny Hinn, something he brought out that was fascinating to me. So if you look at this verse where it says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, comma, that comma right there gives the enemy the power. Does that make sense? Benny Hinn said, in the Hebrew, the comma's not there. The King James translator decided to put that comma in. But if you take that comma out, it gives the Holy Spirit the power.
Yes.
So that just opened my eyes.
Yes.
We always want to give the Holy Spirit that. The Holy Spirit is your conscience. Romans 9:1. I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. So the definition of conscience, and I just had to look this up, but I'm going to read it for you. An inner feeling or voice viewed as acting as a guide to the righteousness or wrongness of one's behavior. He had a guilty conscience about his desires. Ben was suffering a pang of conscience. And the synonym on that is sense of right and wrong. I don't know about you, but that sounds like the Holy Spirit to me. I mean, right? He's our sense of right and wrong. That's that, as we tell the kids, that's that feeling right here you get when you're about to go hit your friend and something's telling you don't do that. When you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, we allow Him to lead us. You allow Him to lead you, consciously and unconsciously, because He is your very soul. You may ask, how do you know? I know sometimes we ask, how do we know? How do we know A, B, or C? Well, just like we've never entered the pearly gates. We've never been through them. But since the Holy Spirit is in us, we know that we know that we know that we know. Because the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. And He makes us believe and know. Of course, you know, you can read the Bible or you can say, well, it's in the Bible. But here's the thing is there are so many people that, unsaved people, that have read the Bible. And because the Holy Spirit is not in them, they still think it's a story. But it doesn't matter if you've read it or not. Do you have the Holy Spirit in you helping and guiding you so that you know that you know that you know that it's real? Heaven is real. I like when Patty said that because that kind of confirmed. I've got it written here. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Yeah. Romans 8:16. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. In the Message it says, This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurous, expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with Him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with Him. The Holy Spirit is now. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians 13:14. May the grace of Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, let me start over, I'm sorry. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I'm going to show you something. So we saw the grace of Christ when He died on the cross for us. The love of God when He sent His Son to die for us. But these are all in the past. Communion with the Holy Spirit is now. We want to commune with the Holy Spirit. It's a now thing. Satan has convinced the world that the Holy Spirit is just a filling, an influence, a special power that only the elite or the wealthy can have. Satan doesn't want you to know about the Holy Spirit. He wants you to believe the Holy Spirit is not important because he knows how powerful you'll become the moment you realize his lies. Satan knows what trouble you'll cause him if you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Satan knows the more you fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the less likely you're going to fall for his lies. So he's going to put it in your head, the Holy Spirit's not important. It's not important to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but it is.
Yes, it is.
It takes time. I know sometimes the Lord has to work on my patience, but it does take time. It takes time to build a relationship. It takes time to build any relationship with anybody, husbands, wives, friends, peers, co-workers. It takes a minute to build those relationships. It doesn't happen overnight. Galatians 5:16 says, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm also going to read that one in the Message. My counsel is this, live freely, animated, and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. For there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with a free spirit. Just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness, these two ways of life are so that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way, according to how you feel on any given day. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence? Did you know the Holy Spirit has feelings? Romans 15:30. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit. He has feelings. He makes decisions. 1 Corinthians 12:11. All these are the works of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines, just as the Spirit determines. So He does get to make decisions. I'm going to read that one in the Message. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they are originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God Himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. They have a list here of some examples: wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. All these gifts have a common origin, but are handed out by the one Spirit of God. He decides who gets what and when. So, I didn't know this, or I'd never thought about this. Angels are not omnipresent, omnipotent, or omniscient. Some of those I can't say, I'm sorry. But omnipresent means everywhere, all the time. Omnipotent means all-powerful. And omniscient is all-knowing. So since Satan was an angel, he has none of the above either. Amen. The Holy Spirit, however, is all of the above. He can do all of those things. He searches the mind of God and presents it to you. Satan or angels cannot read your mind. This is for the Father and the Holy Spirit. The Father and the Holy Spirit can search you and read you and know what's going on. Satan cannot read your mind. He cannot. Thank God. Because he would use that against me. Psalms 139, 7 through 10. Where can I go? This is in the International Children's Bible. Where can I go to get away from your Spirit? Where can I run from you? If I go up to the skies, you are there. If I lie down where the dead are, you're there. If I rise with the sun in the east and settle in the west beyond the sea, even there you would guide me with your right hand and you would hold me. First Corinthians 2, 9-11, also in the Children's Bible. But as it is written in the Scriptures, no one has ever seen this. No one has ever heard about it. No one has ever imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. That little excerpt was from Isaiah 64:4. Now it's going to jump back over to the 1 Corinthians verse. But God has shown us these things through the Spirit. The Spirit knows all things, even the deep secrets of God. It is like this. No one knows the thoughts that another person has. Only a person's spirit that lives in him knows his thoughts. It is the same with God. No one knows the thoughts of God. Only the Spirit of God knows God's thoughts. Okay, when I say this, please don't jump off the bus. The Holy Spirit should be worshipped. It's okay to worship the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you why. Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now, the last time we talked about how the Holy Spirit is the action. The breath is the action. So God's breath is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was the one that actually did the action of giving the life. Job 33:4. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. And this is why I said don't jump off the bus. Because Some people think you're taking away from God when you say you should worship the Holy Spirit. But we're not. You're not taking anything away from God because He is the breath of God. So if you, when you worship the Holy Spirit, God is a part of that. It's okay. During the creation, God said, "Let there be light." And the Holy Spirit, He carried out that request. He actually put the light out there. If the Holy Spirit was necessary for Christ, how can I believe He's not necessary for me? Jesus was born of the Spirit, anointed by the Spirit, cast out demons by the Spirit, and performed miracles by the Spirit. So if He needed the Spirit for all of those things, how could I think I don't? We've been taught that the Holy Spirit is the low man on the totem pole. I know not really in this church, but as children, we kind of were. We were. Holy Spirit wasn't put on the top shelf with the Father or with Christ. If it were not for the Holy Spirit, we would not be able to understand the voice of God. Revelations 1, 15 through 17, "And His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and His voice as the sound of many waters. And He had in His right hand seven stars, and out of His mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and His countenance was as the sun shineth in His strength. And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. And He laid His right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last." The Holy Spirit makes God's voice audible and lovely. So we've got to have Him to, if we want to get word from God, if we want to dig the depths of God, we have to have the Holy Spirit to do those things. The Holy Spirit will not speak on His own authority. John 16, 13, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come." When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, He doesn't come to you and say, "The Father wants me to tell you." No, He says, "Do this." Right? He doesn't say, "I'm coming to you on behalf of God. I need you to do this." No, He says, "Just go do this." Because He is the breath of God. Because He is that mouthpiece for God. On the other side of that coin, the Holy Spirit can also be quieted if asked. Remember, He's a gentleman, and He will depart quietly. Unlike Satan, who we all know flees with a bang, crash, boom. What a Spirit-filled life looks like. You'll speak differently. Ephesians 5:19, and this is in the voice. "When you're filled with the Spirit, you are empowered to speak to each other in the soulful words of songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, to sing and make music with your hearts attuned to God." Did you know the most used word in the English language is "I"? I didn't know that. That's pretty sad. But with a Spirit-filled life, your life will become less self-centered and more God-centered. What would happen if we all gave up just one or two eyes? What if we became more God-centered instead of self-centered? You become more in tuned to gratefulness. Ephesians 5:20. "Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." You'll become a servant. Or you'll, actually, I shouldn't say you'll become. You'll want to become. You'll want to serve in the church. You'll want to do things. Ephesians 5:21. "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." So I'm going to plug a commercial. I need teachers. If you feel the Holy Spirit tugging at you in any ministry, that's what we're supposed to do. And the Holy Spirit lets you know. He gives you the talent that you need. He gives you what you need to be able to serve in whatever area He wants you in. Just know that. Know that He will give you those talents. There's no reason to be worried or nervous. He wants you to be successful. How do I know the Holy Spirit is working on what I asked? You don't have to see the Holy Spirit to know He's working. Think of a sailboat or flags or trees. You don't have to see Him to know that He's working. You just see the evidence. Benny Hinn said time after time he has people come up and ask him, how do I know I've been filled with the Holy Spirit? And I could just kind of hear him in my head, how he said this is, brother, if you don't know you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you ain't been filled with the Holy Spirit. I thought that was funny. Okay, so I hope that everybody has something written down on their paper. Because here's what the Holy Spirit wants now. We've been talking about fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about building that relationship. Now, whatever He tugged at your heart to write down, this is where you're going to begin to build that relationship. Or this is where He wants you to go to deepen or strengthen your relationship with Him. Or this may be an area that the Holy Spirit feels that you need to look into. Some of these things just might make you curious. And you can ask the Holy Spirit, well, Holy Spirit, she said this, but I don't know if I believe that. Well, I probably gave you a scripture to it, and you can talk to the Holy Spirit and say, can you show me more? Can you give me more? And He wants to. He wants you to understand, and He wants to help you with that. So I hope that you guys will take that and will use that, because I really, really felt, I know it's different, but I really felt led to do that tonight. So the Holy Spirit really wants to work with that fellowship with you all. Thank you.